This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, music notes from one of the nation's most eclectic radio hosts. But first, in four movies or less, Paul Thomas Anderson has become known as one of his generation's most exciting filmmakers, the director of Magnolia, Boogie Nights, Hard Eight. Perhaps no young director seems as accomplished as he at interweaving so many little stories into a large slice of Americana, and not the Hallmark Presents Americana, but something dark and ironic. Mr. Anderson has employed, discovered, and rejuvenated a number of commanding talents on the screen, Julianne Moore, Don Cheadle, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Jason Robards, and Tom Cruise, among others. Now, in his latest picture, Punch Drunk Love, there's no ensemble cast, but two quirky lovers, played by Adam Sandler and Emily Watson. In this scene, they learn a little more about each other's families at his office.
Business is good. You're busy.
Yeah, well, not really.
I saw a picture of you.
Oh, yes?
Elizabeth has a picture of you guys, your sisters and you. It's a lot of family. It must be nice.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
No, I'm the exact opposite.
That must be nice. That must be really, really, really...
No, it's terrible. What's the pudding for?
That's something else. You can get pancakes?
Yes, we
are. Punch Drunk Love opens this weekend. Our entertainment critic Elvis Mitchell joins us from New York. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
And where does Punch Drunk Love fall into this esteemed lineup, really, of Boogie Nights, Magnolia, and Hard Eight?
Well, as compared to Boogie Nights and Magnolia, it's about half the length of those pictures. It's literally less than half of Magnolia. It's 90 minutes long. He was convinced that what he wanted to do was to tell a shorter, more compact story. Mm-hmm. And this is much airier than those other movies, which are incredibly dense. You talked about the interweaving storylines. This is very specifically about love and sort of the delirium that love creates. It's, to put this in sound plausible, it's an art movie starring Adam Sandler. But on the other hand, it's what any smart director does. You play to your talent's strengths, to your talent's gifts. He doesn't try to get Adam Sandler to do Baudelaire. Thank God for that. But he does make Adam Sandler into what Baudelaire would call a potato eater. He's a guy struggling to keep his business running. He has a business in which he sells novelty toilet plungers. Yes, that's what I said. And the movie is all about incidents that come out of nowhere that change his life, including meeting this girl. And one thing that Anderson has done, like many other directors of his generation, he's really sort of reverent about other filmmakers, and there's a lot of Blake Edwards in this because Blake Edwards was really great at slapstick and keeping slapstick in the frame and using that sort of anger to create a kind of a comic tension. And a lot of the sequences in this movie are kind of about that anger that we're used to seeing Adam Sandler play, and I know there are people who aren't fans of his, and I like his stuff off and on, but as an actor persona, Sandler always tends to be very polite to decent people, to nice people. He's nice. Mm-hmm. And when he's provoked, the anger comes out of nowhere. But it's this anger that really sort of bubbles out over the screen. Essentially, he's sort of Laurel and Hardy in one.
Mm-hmm. Have you discerned a theme to these films?
Well, besides the anger, I guess. It's about people sort of having to come to grips with the fact that they have these deep, resonant feelings that almost feel like they're sentimentalized, but in fact they're not, because mm-hmm. what feels like happy endings really come down to what I like to think of as the what next moment. Mm-hmm. Because in the picture's end, you think, well, what next? What's going to happen to these people? Which is, I think, a really sort of deeply emotional filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another director of his generation who provokes as much conversation. People tend to love him or hate him, yeah. but they do talk about him. And the movies are unforgettable.
Is he going to find it with more success? Is it going to be more or less difficult for him to be able to choose projects that will fulfill his independent sense of vision?
Gosh, that's an interesting question, Scott, because I think he's the one thing you get from him is not only ambition, but arrogance, mm-hmm. A sense that I belong in this medium. I own this medium. I know what I want to do with these stories already. This complete self-assurance is kind of off-putting in somebody so young, because there's something slightly callow about the movies. They're a little unformed, a little inchoate. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this kind of deep-dish confidence that he brings to bear in every single frame, and you have to think back to those movies. Think back to Boogie Nights, that kind of deliberation and control. And still, despite all that action, despite all that sort of complexity, which sometimes makes the movies, I think, feel a little superficial, mm-hmm. the fact is this guy knows what he wants to do. I just sort of wonder, at some point if complacency will overtake the arrogance. But that's really fun to watch, to see somebody who doesn't have a single moment of anxiety or hesitation in the pictures. In fact, he uses the anxiety and the hesitation of others to communicate their feeling.
Elvis, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition, speaking with us from New York.